bátran van, szeretném a pályáját szövetet is, mert Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 In from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 9, from canto 5, chapter 9, verse number 16. Vishala Raja Pani Purusha Pashor Asrika Shashvena Devim Bhadra Kalim Yaksha Manastad Abhim Mantitam Asimati Karavanishitam Padade
Ata
Thereafter Vishala Rupa
Pani,
the so-called priest, of the leader of the Dekas.
The so-called leader.
The so-called priest. One of the thieves.
Purushapa
of the animalistic man.
For being sacrificed.
Arad Maharaj. Ashrik Ashashmena. For the liquor of blood. Devim, to the deity. Bhadrakalim, the goddess Kali. Yakshamana, desiring to offer. Tad abhinam kritam, conspirated by the mantra of Bhadrakali. I'll let it. Asim, the sword. Ati Karala, very fearful. Nishitam, finally
sharpened.
Upadade, he took up. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. At this time, one of the thieves, acting as the chief priest, was ready to offer the blood of Jad Bharat, who they imagined to be an animal man, to the goddess Kali to drink as a liquor. He therefore took up a very fearsome sword, which was very sharp, and consecrating it by the mantra of Bhadrakali, raised it to kill Jad Bharat. Please repeat. At this time, one of the thieves, acting as the chief priest, was ready to offer the blood of Jad Bharat, whom they imagined to be an animal man. The goddess Kali, drink as liquor. He therefore took up a very fearsome sword, which was very sharp, consecrating it by the mantra of Bhadrakali, raised it to kill Jad Bharat. I'm going to also read text 17 because it has a purpose. All the rogues and the thieves who had made arrangements for the worship of goddess Kali were low-minded and bound to the modes of passion and ignorance. They were overpowered by the desire to become very rich. Therefore, they had the audacity to disobey the injunctions of the Vedas, so much so that they were prepared to kill Jad Bharat, a self-realized soul born in a Brahmin family. Due to their envy, these Dekars brought him before the goddess Kali for sacrifice. Such people are always addicted to envious activities, and therefore they dare to try to kill Jad Bharat. Jad Bharat was the best friend of all living entities. He was no one's enemy. He was always absorbed in meditation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was born of a good Brahmin family, and killing him was forbidden. Even though he might have been an enemy or an aggressive person. In any case, there was no reason to kill Jat Bharat, and the goddess Kali could not bear this. She could immediately understand that these sinful Dekais were about to kill a great devotee of the Lord. Suddenly, the deity burst asunder, and the goddess Kali personally emerged from it in a burning with an intense and intolerable effulgence. Purported by Dhamayi S.A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. According to the Vedic injunctions, only an aggressive can be killed. If a person comes with an intent to kill, one can immediately take action and kill in self-defense. And it also stated that one can be killed if he comes to set fire to home or to pollute or kidnaps one's wife. Lord Ramachandra killed the entire family of Ravana because Ravana kidnapped his wife Sita Devi. However, killing is not sanctioned in the Shastras for other purposes. The killing of animals is in sacrifice to the demigods, who are expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is sanctioned for those who eat meat. This kind of restriction for meat eating. In other words, the slaughter of animals is also restricted by certain rules and regulations in the Vedas. Considering these points, there was no reason to kill Jat Bharat, who was born in a respectable, highly exalted Brahmana family. He was a God-realized soul and a well-wisher to all living entities. The Vedas did not at all sanction the killing of Jat Bharat by the rogues and thieves. Consequently, the goddess Bhadrakali emerged from the deity to give protection to the large devotee. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that due to the Brahman effulgence of such a devotee as Jat Bharat, the deity was fractured. Only thieves and rogues in the modes of passion and ignorance and maddened by material opulence offer a man in sacrifice before the goddess Kali. This is not sanctioned by the Vedic instructions. Presently, there are many hundreds and thousands of slaughterhouses throughout the world that are maintained by puffed up population mad for material opulence. Such activities are never supported by the Bhagavata school. Om Agnanati Mirandashya Agnanajana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sapatam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Bharati Swapatantikam Pandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sujivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahaganalaita Shri Vishakangatam Shya He Krishna Karna Sindhava Dina Bandho Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishabhanusate Devi Pramami Hari Priya Vanchakalpa Trivisha Kripasudha Vivacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Before I begin to speak on this verse, I would like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis present in the room, because all of you are older than me, and especially of Adi Purush Prabhu and Arjuna Prabhu, to kindly give me a blessing so I may say something in line with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So, we've been reading all this while about how, about the entire life of Bharat Maharaj, and how initially he reached the platform of Bhava, which is a very exalted stage of devotion that one can be at, and then he happened to fall down. The last time I was speaking, I mentioned that in the 10th canto, the 32nd chapter, there's a verse where Krishna tells the gopis that although one may develop devotion for Krishna, he doesn't immediately appear in front of them in order to actually, in order to augment their devotion, in order to increase it. Like, you know, for example, Narada Muni, like he saw Vishnu sometime, but then Vishnu disappeared in his past life, in Narada Muni's past life. He saw Vishnu for a short while, and then Vishnu disappeared. And after Vishnu disappeared, like Narada Muni, the only thing he could think of was attaining Vishnu. So similarly, like that's what Krishna did. He got Bharat Maharaj to a platform of bhava, and then this entire leela happened in order to augment Bharat Maharaj's desire to actually attain the lotus feet of Krishna. And then like we see that when he finally got to this platform and fell down and he got into the body of a deer, he could just not believe it because he was so close. Imagine you're so close to, you know, going back home back to God and you just like mess it up and that's the only thing you can think about. So in the body of a deer, that's all Bharat Maharaj was thinking about as to how badly he messed up. And like, you know, Krishna gave him the ability, being the super soul in his heart, he actually gave him the ability to remember his past life, you know, as Bharat Maharaj. And then when he came to this present body that he was in, the body of Jat Bharat, he did not want to mess this opportunity up also. So, you know, this time he was in, you know, he could understand, like, he was on the platform of a Paramahamsa Mahabhagavat. That means, like, Uttam Adhikari sees everything as devotional service. Like, no matter what anyone is doing, because for them, there's no, like, Mahamaya doesn't really exist. There's no perverted reflection for them. Because the Uttam Adhikaris, Uttam Bhagavats, they actually see everything to be the spiritual world. They see everything to be as a manifestation of Yoga Maya. So, like, he could see that no matter what is happening, it's all Krishna is engaging him. And in a sense, that's true because everything is Krishna. So anything that's happening to you is Krishna's loving exchange with you. Only you just don't have the eyes to see it that way. But Bharat Maharaj, or Jat Bharat, in this life did. And he thought, wow, okay. So these people are coming, and although I'm the son of a Brahmana, and although he has such a deep internal life, he did not revolt. He just like surrendered. He completely surrendered to Krishna. Because this level of surrender is very rare, like so rare that, you know, these people are coming to like actually slaughter you and offer you to like Kali. And this actually still goes on in India. Like in Bhakti Siddhanta once was walking with his disciples in a place which is very prominent for the worship of Kali. It was in Bengal, someplace, but I don't remember the exact location. But when they're walking down in the forest, they actually saw like this group of Kali worshippers walking by, and they all had like these human skulls that it was like dripping with blood, and they were just walking by, and like, and they offered obeisance to them, okay, Hare Krishna, and they just like kept going. But this thing is very real. Like even I've seen it. Like in India, there's this very famous festival before Diwali called Bakri Eid. Right? Bakri Eid. And also not only Bakri Eid, but like, you know, Dashera. During the month of Dashera, like, basically they come and they slaughter, like, goats in front of Kali, and like, basically, like, oh, it's Kali Prasad, we can all eat it, you know. But what they don't realize is there's like a lot of sinful activity that goes on. Like, the only reason people worship Kali is because, like, she actually, like, the Vedas let them offer meat to them and eat the meat. But what happens is, instead of actually following the exact process as to, like, you know, before you kill an animal, you chant the mantra, you know, which says that, okay, I'm killing you now, so if I'm killing you now, in your next life, you'll get a chance to kill me just the way I'm killing you, and actually trying to make a connection in your head that, oh God, you know, this is really messed up, I should not be doing this. They just do, they're just like, you know, well, they're sure, this is kosher, you know, so you can just, like, eat it however, which way you like, no one really cares, you know, at all, halal, like, you know, no one really knows if the animals actually sacrifice as halal meat or not. Like, oh, it says halal, so it must be halal. And no one really cares. All you care about is satisfying your tongue. So, like, using the excuse of the Vedas, these people would sacrifice, you know, goats for Kali, and they eat it. But they don't realize the amount of sinful activities that are accruing. Because, you know, it says in the Vedas, it actually says that one who worships Kali like this, the first person that she would actually take as a sacrifice is the worshipper himself. You know, so that itself should be like a no-no for everyone. But one may ask, why are such things in the Vedas if they're forbidden? Because the Vedas are meant for the lowest class to the highest class. You know, to like the lowest of the low, like someone who likes wine, women, meat, you know, basically most of the population today, gambling. You know, that it's for them, and it's also for the highest minded, you know, Mahabhagavat, the highest, the purest jnanis, the purest karmis, and above everything, like the ultimate, the Bhagavatas, those who are devotees of Krishna. We actually see that There's so many slaughterhouses which are open. And that's actually one of the reasons why school shootings won't stop. That's actually one of the reasons why all these terrible terrorist attacks won't stop. You know, I mean, you know, sure, right? This guy just came and he shot a bunch of kids in school. And it's a big deal, right? But it's also a big deal that every day in this country, millions and billions of animals are being slaughtered on a regular day, every day. And people eat it like, hey, Johnny, oh my, my little son, let's eat the son of this cow. Hey, let's eat the son of this pig. You know, let's eat this fetus, which is from the egg, you know. Like, they don't make that relationship. Oh, like, we were actually in Union Square, it's funny. We were in Union Square, and right next to us, there was, like, these guys who were, like, all dressed up as these, like, people from the meat industry. And they're saying, dog meat, fresh dog meat. Don't worry, guys, we've taken care of the dogs very nicely, you know, we fed them well before we killed them. You know, like, you know, they're making this really, like, point, this, like, really sarcastic points, you know. And then they had, like, this thing which looked like meat. I don't know, maybe it was, like, I don't even know what it was, but, like, this thing which looked like meat. And then people would go up to them and be like, what is this? And then, like, you know, some people actually eat the dog meat. Like, they didn't care. They didn't eat the dog meat. And then they were, like, other people were like, oh, my God, how can you do this? Killing dogs? This is crazy. Then they asked, do you eat meat? They said, yeah, I eat meat. Like, and you know, they couldn't get the point. Like, there was such a huge difference. No, you're killing a cow, you're killing a dog, and you're eating what the, like, what's so bad, right? But they were still like, oh, how can you do this? You know, because there's some sort of, like, because everyone wants to worship God, but everything is reversed in Kali Yuga, so they worship dog, and it's just, like, really messed up. You know, then you can see, you know, that's why so many bad things happen. You know, on a daily basis, actually in the Vedas, in the Shastras, it says that for every animal you eat, the number of hairs that are on the animal's body, you'll have to take those many amount of births.
2,000 births for each hair.
2,000 births for each hair, times multiplied an infinite times on an animal's body. God knows what can happen. But yeah, you know, it's like a really long time. You know, it's a really long time. And that's just for one animal. And like, they eat one animal for one meal. Right, like in the morning they eat like a dead fetus, which is called an egg, and like a dead pig with each stool, which is called bacon. This dead pig, which is called bacon, and then you have like a dead chicken, like or whatever other animal, I don't even know what they eat, like another animal with, and for lunch, and then you have like this huge cow, like in the night. And then, you know, that's a great day, right? People don't even know why it's wrong to actually be sitting in front of a TV, drinking a glass of wine and eating a steak. That's how much in ignorance they are. And, you know, those who eat meat in the light of the Vedas are still better, because it's a tamasoma jyotirgamaya. Because the Vedas, tamas, ignorance, jyotir gives light. So eventually the entire point of mentioning all these sacrifices in the Vedas is to turn people around in order to get them to understand that, hey, this is not, the whole point is Yajna Vishnu. Everything is meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu, you know? So, like, you can actually see that many people, they have a tendency to worship, you know, someone, they have a tendency to worship something, they have a tendency, like, you know, for example, like, we went to the Democratic National Convention, and like people were worshiping Bernie Sanders like he's like Lord Nityananda or something like that. You know, they were just like, whoa, Bernie, Bernie. Like, this guy lost the elections, bro. It's like, Bernie, Bernie, what are you doing? You know, it's serious, right? They're so crazy. And, like, if you praise Bernie, they'll take 5 ugly eaters from your hands. And it's like, bro, you feel the burn, bro, for sure. And like, they just like put a book in there, like, oh, dude, yeah, I can take it. You know, Bernie, yeah, for sure. And like, it's so insane, because they have a tendency to worship, because ultimately we're all servants. We're all servants of Krishna. We all want to serve. We all want to serve someone or something. The least we want to do is at least serve our family, serve your boss, serve your children, serve your teacher. You know. So if you dovetail that, if you actually give people the knowledge that all this is meant, you know, you can all like, you want to serve someone and you want to be satisfied by serving someone, the only person you can serve is Krishna. And that's the best way you can actually do it. And, you know, like, being in school, like, and I've seen, like, so many children, so many of my classmates even, all they do is, like, they come to class and the rest of the day, like, I ask them, what are you going to do during the vacation? Like, dude, I got this game, I got that game, I got that game, I got that game, I'm just going to play that all day. Right? And the games, like, they're all, like, killing people all the time. They kill people. And, like, while killing people, they eat, like, a bunch of meat.
Right? So that's the only thing that goes into your consciousness. And imagine, right? That's you're feeding your consciousness with violence, virtual violence, and real violence. And what comes? What comes out of that? And God forbid these people have children. You know, like, what's going to happen to them? That's why every generation you see is degrading further and further and further and further. Like, everybody be like, oh, back in the day, you know, it's so great. You know, back in the day. Like, because people are always talking back in the day because Kali Yuga, every second is messed up. Right? Like, you know, 5,000 years have already passed in Kali Yuga. It's been really bad. And it's just been getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, for the love of God, when there was, like, the World Trade Center attack and that whole thing went down, the advice the president gave to people was, in order to become happy, just go shopping. That was the advice that was given to people. Like, that's how serious of it. I mean, if people don't find something wrong with that, there's something really wrong with them. You know, like, see, they say we're crazy, and we say they're crazy. Who's crazy? They're crazy. Right? Because they actually don't, they think, oh, it's all right. Like, yeah, let's just go shopping, and, you know, let's forget about everything that's happened, because if I get more things, I'll be happy. That's completely on the bodily conception of life. You know, it's completely stemming from people have to base their life on some philosophy, like Vatsalpa. He's a Prabhupada disciple from Texas. He was telling us in one class that, in a sense, everyone is a philosopher. You know, because you have to have some philosophy that you base your entire life on. Right? Like, you know, someone, like, and they have to, something needs to make sense for them in order to do it. So for most people, well, Darwin's theory, like, everything comes from matter, so it doesn't matter what I do. Right? So it doesn't matter that there's a fetus in your stomach and you kill it because it's just dead tissue. It's just tissue. I can just, like, remove it. It's just tissue. You know, and they get all these bad ideas and they don't understand that these have serious repercussions. Like, you know, what goes around definitely comes around. You know, many people are like, oh, what happened to these children? You know, why were they killed? You know, this. And then they're making such a huge deal about children dying in America and one school shooting. But children die, like, so American soldiers go inside Pakistan and kill all these babies. No one cares. You know, people kill so, like, all these very terrible things happen. But in the newspaper, just like, 9 people were shot. Well, that's what happened. 9 people were shot. But if something happens, like, oh, it's a big deal. But, you know, because they don't understand that, you know, what's going to happen is, like, things are just going to get worse. And, like, you know, everyone can tell. Like, even if, like, I remember on the day of election in my class, like, my teacher came in, like, some students were all on the verge of crying because Donald Trump became the president. They were all like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Like, they were actually sad. They can also tell that, you know, lots of bad things are going to happen. And that's why this is the best time to preach. Oh God, it's so awesome to preach. You know, because people can feel the pain. Like, on the day of election, it was, like, so easy to distribute books, right? Because people were just, they're like, wow, all right, dude, you know, I can tell that this, you know, Antabai Gauranga Prabhu told me this line. He said that, you know, you can tell them that since politics doesn't work, you should thank the philosophy, you know, because that's a good line. That's a very, like, a white guy like to say to people, you know, so, and we can tell them, hey, you know, like, politics is not working, you can tell the philosophy, and it was working. It was working very well. And, you know, people lately, like, again, getting back to this point, that things are just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse. As time goes on, the suffering in Kali Yuga is going to increase at least until 432,000, for a long time, things are just going to keep getting worse and worse. That's why what we do is very important. You know, when we go out there and we actually, and there to tell people, to inform people that, hey, you know, there's actually, like, a better life. You know, sometimes, I mean, we are chanting the same mantra over and over again. That we're just, like, you know, we're wearing the same clothes, we're dancing the same. No, I mean, we're not dancing the same, but, like, you know, we're doing the same things over and over and over again. But people, for some reason, are attracted to it because they have a tendency, because the soul has a tendency to be attracted to Krishna, and Krishna is all attractive, you know. And Krishna really reciprocates when you do something for his pleasure. Krishna really reciprocates, you know. So, for example, Jad Bharat was actually a pure devotee of Krishna, but you know, but these people didn't know that, and that's, like, a very nice example of worship in the mode of ignorance, you know, intelligence in the mode of ignorance, you know. And people can also ask that, you know, people are worshiping in this mode of ignorance. Why is it that Krishna, why is it that it, like, why do they worship? Why can't they just worship Krishna? Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 21, the Sanskrit is slipping off my mind. You know the words? That, like, you know, whoever you believe in, I strengthen your faith. No matter what you believe in, Krishna gives you the nishtha, they have firm faith that what you're doing is right. That's why people are so convinced. You know, like, we were just reading books, like, in Grand Central last week, and someone came up to Josh and told him, man, you got the wrong Jesus. You know, like, wow. It's because, like, people are convinced that what I'm doing is right. And even if you very logically sit down with them and you, be, like, you defeat their argument, you know, you make it all sound very, you know, you make it very philosophically sound just on the basis of logic and not on the basis of faith, they would still reject you. They say, well, still, Jesus is the only way. You know, like, they agree with all your points, but they still want to have this understanding that, no, what I'm doing is only right. Because Krishna gives them that ability, you know. And, like, in prayers of Akrura for Krishna, he says that just like when it rains, there's all these various rivulets and, like, you know, rivers and oceans, and, like, all these various water streams that are formed. And some of them reach the ocean and some of them don't. You know, so similarly, those who worship demigods, they may reach Krishna because indirectly they're worshiping Krishna because the demigods don't have the power to actually give the jiva what they want. Like, it's only Krishna who has the ability to give the jivas what they want. And because they're worshipping this demigod, he actually gives them the ability in order to benedict to the demigods. And eventually, at least if you're in the Vedic system, and you're Vedic system and you're worshipping all these demigods, eventually you understand that they're getting, the source they're getting it from is Vishnu, so I might as well worship him from them. But for most people who don't have an idea of Vedic life, like, God knows what they're doing, like, once, disciple was asking Prabhupada, you know, what's better? Like, is it to be Christian and to worship the one all-pervading God? Or is it better to just be a Shakta or like a Kali worshipper? And Prabhupada said it's better to be a Kali worshipper because somewhere or another you're connected to the Vedas. You know? Because it's, eventually the entire culture is devoted around Vishnu, is centered around Vishnu. Yajnaya by Vishnu, because Vishnu is the supreme. Vishnu is a Yajna Purush. Right? And, like, all the sacrifices that are done actually meant for him. You know, and, yeah. Okay. So, when we actually say that we should all come together and this congregational chanting will actually please Krishna, it's not a dogmatic statement. It's not something that we just say for the heck of saying it. It's actually something which is very tangible. You know, because like Parama Karana Pahudui Jana Nitai Guru Chana Sabhyavatara Sarashira Mani Keva Anandakanda. In that, there's a bhajan by Loshamdash Thakur that he says, like, you know, don't worry, bhaja bhaja bhai Chaitanya Nitai Shadira Vishwasa Kori. Like, don't worry, just have faith in this, in the process that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came to give you. And the purport, Prabhupada writes, don't think the chanting and dancing will not bring about the desired success. It will. You know, all you need to do is have faith. You know, for example, people have faith in demigods, right? Those who want to get good health, they worship the sun god. Those who want to get good education, they worship Goddess Saraswati. Those who want to get a good wife, they worship Goddess Uma. Like, Ramana Prabhu, like a year or two ago, was showing us this picture in one of the Bhagavad Gita's in the BBT, where, like, they're worshipping Vishnu, sorry, they're worshipping the sun god or, like, the other two demigods, and then whatever wish they want is being granted to them, but the personality that's granting this wish to them is actually, like, someone who looks like a grim reaper. You know, like, you look like this dark, shadowy personality, and you're just coming to give you this ha-ha-ha, you know, you're going to take this. There's so many strings attached. You know, when you worship a demigod, there's so many strings attached because, you know, whatever they give you, they're going to take you. Like Jayadvaita Swami said, whatever you Maya will give you, she can give you with one hand, but she'll take back with 100 hands. You know, it's not a fair deal. Like, you know, like, Maya gives you, like, she's about to give you a sweet point, she smacks you in the head, and you tell her, Maya, who's it? I don't know. Like, don't worry, I'll protect you. Like, she can smack you. I don't know. Like, it keeps happening over and over again, where you get smacked by Maya all the time, kicked around, ruthlessly, mercilessly. You know, like, oh master, like, you know, these three highwaymen, lust, greed, and anger, have tied my neck with chains, and they're torturing me, and, like, they're mercilessly getting more and more service from me, and shamelessly, they don't even give me anything in return. You know, that's right. Like, when people, we need to let people know that there's a point where you can stop this. You know, like, you can, instead of unnecessarily serving a master who doesn't care about you, you can serve a master who's all loving. You know, so it's very important to let people know, to give them the information as to why you should actually be doing what you're doing, because people are curious. You know, that's why there's so many of these, like, pseudo, like, gurus, like, what's the Buddhist guy's name? That guy's a rascal. He's a big time rascal, right? Like, you know, he goes speaking of peace and love and all of this, but then he's like an animal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know? I mean, how can you promote peace and love where, like, lust, greed, and anger is promoted everywhere, even by the so called saintly people? You know, like, yes, I think.
Paul McCartney, the Beatles approached him on that. Why are you speaking peace and eat flesh? He says it's for my health.
That's nonsense. So apparently, like, he tried going vegetarian, all he ate was nuts. You know, he should have come to one of our restaurants, I guess. But you know, he just didn't. You know, yeah, it's so dumb. Like, people are coming, they speak about peace. Even the so-called saintly people, they speak about peace. Like, one of Prabhupada's main things was, like, he was very happy with people believing in Jesus and all of that stuff, but, like, he just wanted them to stop eating meat. But they just cannot do it. Like, they go so far as to even change, like, what the scripture says. You know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not assassinate, you know. And, like, you know, we've seen, like, you know, when these things are actually, when they're actually messed around with, when they're moved from one place to another, you can actually see that this causes a lot of chaos. Because when you change the word of God, you know, it's not the word of God anymore, it's just speculation. And your speculation is made up on your imperfect senses. And your imperfect senses will not actually teach someone how you can break from daivi dham. Like, Maya is all powerful, but, like, Maya is very, 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 very big and very, 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 very small. So it's unless you're under the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, unless you're a shelter of a bona fide parampara, you have no hope. You know, like, actually, you know, we are, like, you know, we say we're Vaishnavas, but we're actually Shuddha Shaktas. Shaktas that are actually pure, because we like, Bhakti Siddhanta actually says that we don't worship Krishna, we actually worship Radharani. And we worship Krishna because he worships Radharani. You know, because it's our entire worship is based on around pleasing Radharani. And because if you please Radharani, you please Krishna. And it's like, you can think about it like this, you know. So many people want to please Radha Krishna, right? But the way you can actually do that is through Lord Gauranga. You know, it's like, for example, you want to go for a job, right? And you, and like, the guy who company you want to work to has already sent you his representative to come to your house. The guy has come and knocked at your door saying, hey, this is how you do, like, you can get the job here. But you want to go, you say, no, I don't want to, I want to go to the office. And you go to the office and, like, hey, wait a second, I already sent you my representative. Why don't you just, like, learn from him? And when you go back, you miss the entire opportunity. So, that's Lord Gauranga is actually the mercy of Radharani. You know, like, the other side of Madhurya is Audharya. They're like different sides of the same golden coin. Same golden. One side is Madhurya, other side is Audharya. Audharya means giving out magnanimity. When you actually are so magnanimous that you actually have this great treasure, and what you want to do with it is you want to go and distribute it to everyone. You want to distribute this immense wealth that you have, and the more you distribute it, the more and more you get. A very staunch and merciful theist has engraved this in my heart, where he says that Nam Ruchi and Jiva Doya are non-different. You cannot have taste for the holy name if you don't have compassion for those souls out there. Namruchi and Jiva Doya are non-different. If you actually want to taste the nectar of Krishna's holy name, you got to show him that you mean business. When you actually put yourself, real life starts when you step outside your comfort zone. That's true. You know, if you really want, you're like, you know, yeah, sure, you're comfortable, you're chanting, you know, you're like, you know, you see the deities, everything is a temple room. But if you don't really care for those people who are suffering and dying out there, what's the point of you doing what you're doing? What's the point of you calling yourself a follower of Srila Prabhupada, a follower of Lord Gauranga? Because one of the things that Lord Gauranga did is he came and distributed. And in Gaya, you tell everyone, whoever you meet, Krishna Upadesh. You tell them the Krishna Upadesh, which is basically, you know, you speak to them about Krishna Katha. You know, the entire reason for Lord Gauranga's appearance is not only, he has his internal reasons, he also has external reasons. One of the reasons is to actually come and save the fallen conditioned souls. Because Krishna is very softened by Radharani's mood. That's why you see Radha Muralidhar is also Krishna's wife. You know why? Because he's on the verge of becoming Gauranga. That's why he's so munificent. Because usually Krishna is Shama, right? But because he's come so close to Radharani, he's become white. And he's on the verge of becoming Lord Gauranga whenever he decides to come. But that's this, you know. So we need to understand that Madhurya and Audharya are the same size. I mean, it's a different size of the same kind. And so if you really want to please, if you really want to get Namruchi, if you really want to get the highest love, you got to have Jiva Doya. You have to go and you have to let people know. You know, you distribute books. Why? Three reasons. One is for Harikatha, one is for Hari Puja, and one is, I forget the third one, I was listening in a lecture. But basically, in order to enable people to worship Hari, in order, and the best way you can do that, when you distribute books, people can actually see that you're worshipping Krishna right there. You know? When you see that people are, wow, this is all this book speaks about is chanting and dancing, and I don't see anyone doing that, people will be like, oh my god, these people are just hypocrites. But if you distribute books and people actually see that you guys are chanting and dancing together in the streets, then they actually see Kevala Ananda Kanda, wow, this is really ecstatic. You know, and the power of the holy name, the power of being in the yajna is so purifying, especially when you're in Grand Central, oh my god. You know, like yesterday, there's one guy, like, you know, you want to show that you care for people, right? And you want to develop detection, you want to develop tolerance. This guy, like, broke his leg or something, he was, like, limping and walking, and I said, man, what happened to your leg, man? You should be more careful. He said, oh, I broke it when I kicked your ass. You know, like, whoa, he broke it because he kicked my behind, basically. You know, but he said that, like, you know, people are so mean, like, every day I get a finger, I get so many things, but you just, like, gotta be tolerant, like, perseverance, and that shows Krishna that you mean business. It's basically you coming to a point of, like, showing Krishna, I'm so serious, Krishna, that I only want you, and, like, I don't mind people saying these things to me, people. I mean, they're so creative with themselves. Like, I cannot even believe. Like, dude, you just met me and you just came up with the most creative insult ever. You know, like, wow, genius. You know, Krishna gives them that too. You know, that's amazing, right? You know, it's just like they come and they just tell you like the worst thing, and you're supposed to feel bad about it. I'm like, indeed, I'm like, wow, Krishna, you're really a genius. You're a god. You know, and you just keep doing it over and over and over again. So. You know, you develop this form, you'll come to a certain point, you do this every day, you'll come to a point of nishtha. And once you come to a point of nishtha, there's no more going back. Because until all the other like stages of devotion, you're running away from Maya. But when you go to nishtha, you're running towards Krishna. You know, it is the same, but it's different. Because when you come to nishtha, you're like, you know, you have firm faith that no matter what, Krishna will protect you. So, if you keep doing this every day, like, you know, we did this Sankirtan attack, and that was the most ecstatic experience, like, in a long. It was so amazing, right? It was like, there was nothing like it, and it was so ecstatic. Right? Because you're showing Krishna you mean business. Like, I'm sure the next day, everyone's japa would have been flying, you know? Like, it was amazing, right? The next day is japa. I was so high from that yajna, like the next year, yeah, probably. In the Guru Puja, I can barely say, but I still died. It was amazing. It was so amazing. Imagine you do that every day. Every day is ecstatic in Krishna consciousness. All you have to do is you have to work. You have to do it. You just have to apply the process. You know, Prabhupada said that, you know, if you're eating, right, you have to be, like, automatically your hunger will go away and you feel nourished. But if you're eating and the hunger is not going away, that means you have worms in your stomach that's eating all your food. Right? So if you think you're practicing Krishna consciousness and you're not happy, you're doing something wrong. Consult your senior about it. You know, I'm going to end at this point to leave room for, like, comments and questions or protests. Come at me. Okay. So.
I did hear Srila Prabhupada say it's better to be a meat eater in the house of Veda.
Yeah.
about being meat. We never heard him say it's better to be a poly eater than a Christian. So if
I can give you the quote, but
I'd like to see it.
Yeah,
okay. I'd like to see it. Because, you know, the point is that the books of Jesus is not clear.
Yeah.
You know, that this is a respectable personality who is preaching surrender to God, service to God, obedience to God, love of God. So I think you have to be a little bit careful about condemning Christianity for
sin. No, I wasn't condemning
it. Okay,
just saying what Prabhupada said in that quote.
I'd like to see it. I'd like to see
it. Okay, I'll pull it up.
Yeah,
no problem.
So but it is a point that, you know, that the Vedic system, even at the spectrum of somebody who's taking flesh of an animal for food, you know, but under regulation, is on a path that will lead them to a higher level.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
It's a precision of the language there.
Yeah. Is that it? Yeah. Translation with Bhagavatam key.
What's up?